This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about discovering your true identity. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Growing up, Sophie Ottaway always felt different, like there was something about her that didn't quite make sense. She knew she had had a lot of medical issues as a child, but when one piece of information finally explained years of confusion, Sophie's reality was completely rocked. Marcus Biddle has her story.
Sophie Ottaway and her mother were sitting in a doctor's office near Manchester, England in 2008. She was 22 and getting checked out for a lingering tonsillitis infection. She never really liked going to the doctor, and her mom was there with her for moral support. When the physician came in, he pulled up her chart on the computer screen. Sophie glanced at the monitor, and she saw something that changed her life forever. 46 XY chromosomes.
You know, at that age, at 22, I was, old enough to understand that an XY chromosome was a male chromosome.
But this was on her chart. Sophie's mind was reeling. She went into a state of shock.
You know, I didn't say anything. My mum looked at me with this knowing look, and I looked at her as much to say, I know.
After finishing the appointment, when they got into the car, Sophie was furious.
I just lost it. Like, I absolutely lost it. I kind of wanted answers. It's like, why could you... You know, why didn't you tell me? Why did you keep this from me? What does this mean for my future?
Sophie had always known she was different. She knew she was born with a rare condition. But at this moment, she realized she was born male.
It was like that moment of, oh, well, my entire life makes sense now. Like, not in a good way, but it was... I'd always felt like there was many missing pieces to the jigsaw puzzle. And I never felt... that someone was hiding things from me. I just kind of thought maybe that's just what life is. But on that moment, everything became clear.
Sophie was born on March 20th, 1986, her parents' first and only child. A couple of months before Sophie's birth, her mother went in for a final ultrasound and everything seemed normal. But after the delivery, doctors noticed a serious deformity in the baby's abdominal region. Her bladder and intestines were protruding outside of her body. Both organs were almost split in half, as were her male genitals. The official diagnosis was cloacal extrophy, a complicated and very rare condition for infants. Doctors told her parents that without surgery, her condition would lead to many other problems: frequent hospitalizations, risk of infectious disease, erectile dysfunction, missed school days. The picture was frightening. The surgeons also told the parents that an operation to reposition the baby's organs and intestines back in place was the best solution. As for the split genitals, surgeons decided to remove them altogether.
In those days, they're stuck in this hospital. There's no such thing really as the internet back then. The men in the white coats were the only ones that was offered any advice. And they were specialists. They seemed confident in what they were going to do. They'd made out they'd done it before.
Sophie's parents agreed to the surgery, which lasted over 10 hours. The doctors also recommended that the parents should change the baby's gender from male to female. So they checked off female on the birth certificate. A hospital consultant recommended that they not tell anyone about Sophie's true identity. Not friends, not family, and especially not Sophie. And that's how things had been, until Sophie discovered the truth by chance during the doctor's visit in 2008. So back in the car, Sophie tried to make sense of all of this.
Once you work out one aspect of your life is a lie, you start to question quite a lot of things at that point, because if you can keep a secret that big from someone, what else can you be keeping? But then again, in my mind, I was thinking, well, there can't be any secret worse than that.
Sophie saw her mom visibly shaken, and she didn't have any answers.
She was thinking on her feet, and she was just endlessly talking with love and with care, because my mum never intended anything bad to happen to me. I'm 100% certain of that.
Reflecting back, Sophie says there were many signs about her true identity. She grew up in Marple, England, a small commuter village on the outskirts of Manchester. Sophie remembers her childhood as mostly wonderful. She was vibrant, cheerful, curious, and an outdoorsy little girl. enjoying everything from playing soccer, rollerblading, and climbing trees. There were some medical complications that she was aware of, like having occasional bladder problems. She also says she was an androgynous child.
If you see any pictures of me, I look like this bloody awful pixie. My mum used to put me in these awful green leggings.
But when puberty hit, she really started noticing something different.
The first memory I've got really as a sort of conscious adult or conscious young adult was around about the age of 11 when I first started having to see the endocrinologist.
At that age, she took hormones because she was told that her ovaries had been damaged and removed at birth. Up to this point, she thought she was nothing more than a tomboy.
I was not into hair and makeup and all this kind of stuff and, you know, watching romantic movies. I had no interest in all of that stuff at all, really.
By the age of 13 or 14, her jovial personality morphed into an angsty teenager with a bleak view of life. She struggled with her body image. Looking back, she mostly blames that on the hormones.
I was so tired all the time. I never wanted to exercise. I was spotty, like, imagine like fat, spotty teenager, but depressed. Like, my interest in being outside and hanging out on the push bike or the skateboard, that all went. And it was all me in my bedroom with my hi-fi system listening to Slipknot and Korn and Limp Bizkit and Papa Roach and all this, you know, let's all hate the world. The world is an ugly place kind of narrative.
And then came dating. She didn't really have much interest in boys.
You've got your friends going off to parties and they're all, you know, talking about their first sexual experiences and stuff.
But for Sophie, trying to get close to someone was very difficult.
I didn't really go for people that I thought that I liked. I think I started to go for people that I thought were really sympathetic and would be all right about the fact. So I ended up in like lots of kind of strange relationships whereby you was kind of, you know, I think almost just looking for validation or just looking for someone to say, oh, it's all right, I accept you.
By her 20s, Sophie began struggling with addiction. This was the same time when she learned about her true identity.
Like, all I wanted to do was blot out the pain. So I always liked to drink, but socially, but the drinking went through the roof. And then I kind of spent quite a lot of years having problems with like cocaine and various sort of drugs.
Self-medicating became her go-to recourse to avoid even more self-harm. And she spent years in denial about the truth she had learned in the doctor's office.
I knew that if I was to take in what I read on that screen, that like it was like a fast track to suicide. I just knew I couldn't handle that at that age and with my mental capacity and without any support.
During those years, most of her romantic relationships were with women, but she kept a lot of herself hidden, which she now wishes she could take back.
I have many, many regrets about relationships that I was in with women where I knew my birth gender, but I never told them it because I hadn't told another soul. I couldn't admit it to myself that that were truth.
But within the last few years, Sophie has spent a long time trying to put the puzzle pieces back together and make peace with her identity. Now 38 years old, after several interventions, Sophie has been sober from drugs and alcohol. She still isn't fully comfortable in her own body, but has chosen not to undergo any other surgeries.
I'm just happy presenting as I am now because the thing that matters is the soul that's on the inside. I can, you know, how I behave with others, how I treat others, who I am as a person. And this is just a vessel. I honestly believe we're like a soul in a human vessel here for an experience. And yeah, it's nice if we can get that vessel to look as though it makes us feel comfortable. But to what end do you go to do that?
She's also sharing her story with others and realizing she's not as alone as she once felt.
I've had lots of people contact me off the back of the story with their traumatic stories in similar veins. So there's been lots of stories of intersex people that were never told they were born intersex. The doctors made the wrong sort of choice of gender inclination and they've changed gender later on.
Last year, Sophie tracked down the doctor who did the surgery when she was a baby.
I've actually spoken to the surgeon that did this to me at birth. I met up with him probably about 18 months ago now, in a park, and we had a long talk. It was not an easy talk, but their sort of argument was, and it's really like chauvinistic, sort of like old school, over sexualized view, is that if that penis could never have been functioning, which he couldn't because it was very small and it was split into two halves, if he didn't have a functioning penis, then you're not a useful sexual adult. Therefore, we might as well, you know, make you into a useful sexual adult.
She also reconciled her relationship with her parents, which she says was a true turning point.
We're through the other side of it now. Like, we've worked together. I'm really close with my family. I love my mum and dad to pieces. And we've had the difficult conversations. I understand the situation they were put in and their decision-making process.
That story was reported by Marcus Biddle.